Tuesday this week. I want to pray for our teachers. I want to pray also, and I want you to remember to pray for not only nationally, but in particular regionally. God calls us as a church to have influence locally, community, regionally, and I want to pray for our law enforcement, our police of every level. We're living in a season and a time now that is like never before. And they need, whether some people in the law enforcement know God or not, they need God's protection over them. And you and I as a church are called to help bring that to pass. We are not called to wait for someone else. You and I are called to do that. Just go one level more in that. You and I are called to have influence in the society that we live. We can't wait until people are voted into positions and then try to change the position that we were silent on all along. And now all of a sudden we're upset because it's going in a certain direction. We have to involve ourselves now, ahead of time. And I'm not talking about being weird or goofy. I'm talking about being involved. I'm talking about being a voice. I'm talking about speaking and saying and proclaiming what God's plan, His word is, and what the best is for humanity. There's a whole lot of notions that are floating around. You know, when our society gives more attention to, and I'm not disparaging this at all, so don't leave here. You've heard me say this, I'm not against gay people. Do I believe it's biblical? No, there is a better way. I will stand by that. That's not my way. That's God's way. He made that. He wrote that, not me. I'm just the messenger. I don't hate gay people, but I'm not going to just affirm people that are making hurtful decisions either all the time. I'll love them. I'll put my arm around them. But there is a way, the Bible says, that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is death. And so you and I are called to be a voice, not to complain about it after the fact. Is anybody listening to me today? And so we need to pray for in our students in our schools now. We're coming into a season like none other. When the news is purporting to have gender-friendly restrooms for our young children, hello, this is crazy. We can't just sit by. And some of you in this room today, you are called to be on a school board. You're called to be involved in the politics of the community. And not to be weird, but to have a voice. Have a voice. God's put me in certain places. I don't even know why I'm there. I didn't know how I got there. I know now. I wish I knew some things. I wish I didn't have to get as old as I am to learn a few things. I wish I would have learned them earlier. But I know now. It's just to have a voice. It's to share. It's not to preach. I don't have to preach, but I can have a voice. The godliness of a nation will prevail when the godly people speak up. If my people, which are called by my name, humble, pray, and get involved, and be a voice. Don't be weird. Hey, what's up? Be a voice. So, pray for our teachers, our children. Pray for our law enforcement. Tragedy, things that are happening around the nation. Tragedy, terrible. The enemy is behind it. He is a proponent of it. We need to, this coming Friday is an anniversary of 9/11. And it seems like every time during that season, the enemy, it's like on that day, the enemy stepped into our nation and has had a level of a foothold in here that he's done some things since that time. I think that was a demarcation line that the enemy has had more influence than he did before that time. So we need to pray this week for God's protection in particular. I'm not trying to invoke fear in anybody, but let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Some things are happening around in our nation and even in our community that are not right and that are wrong and evil, and God wants to be Lord in that. I was texting back to my friend, Pastor Jerry Gillis of the chapel yesterday. Somebody went by and threw a Molotov cocktail through the front door of the building and started a fire in the vestibule. And, you know, he wasn't rattled at all from that. And I'm not really either. I mean, it's unfortunate, but we are living in a day and age where things like this, and I'm not prophesying this, I'm not speaking it forth, but if we don't rise up and be what God has called us to be, this is going to be more the norm than it is the abnormal. And we just have to continue being who God has called us to be. And you can't get stuck, and you can't let things slow you down and bother you. You and I are the only ones that God has laid a mantle on for such a time as this. We ought to be thankful that he's called us to this time. He's equipped us. He's given you the energy. He's given you his Holy Spirit inside of you. And you can do and speak and say and do things that you never thought possible. Amen. So let's pray together this morning. Why don't you just take a hand next to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just begin with our students and our teachers, Lord, as they go back to school. Lord, I pray that you will allow your people to have spirit-led influence in school. I pray that you'll put it on the heart of some young people, some students, some even kids that aren't teenagers yet, to begin a prayer meeting or a Bible study. And God, give them the wherewithal to do that. Lord, we'll stand with them. We'll help. We'll support. And whatever we have to do, Lord, to come alongside of that. God, because we want you to have control and rule in our schools and with our children and our teachers, God. I pray a hedge of protection around our students, around the schools, God, this year. That no evil will come near them. I pray in Jesus' name. We just stand and against any instrument that the enemy would try to launch forth and bring destruction in the schools. God, we ask you to go before and stop it in its tracks. Even now, we pray. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We also pray for our law enforcement in this region in particular and also in our nation, God, that you would protect them. God, that the enemy would be stopped in his tracks right now. The influence, the negativity that he would try to insert into the minds of those who are weak and have a propensity to do wrong and evil, I pray that, God, you would bring someone in their path. You would use somebody to invite them to church even in the next 2 weeks. And, Lord, when they come to church, they would hear the good news of Jesus. And it would change the course of their lives, God. And I ask you, Lord, for our friends at the chapel this morning. God, pour out mightily upon that place today. Let a revival happen at the chapel and in Buffalo, in Western New York, God. What the enemy meant for evil, God, I pray that you'll turn it around for good. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Darkness cannot dwell where light is. And I pray that the light of the kingdom of our God will shine bright and will dispel the evil that would try to have its root in our region. And Lord, even as we remember this tragic day of 9/11, I pray again a hedge of protection over our nation and for our leaders in our nation, God, to make the right decisions that would keep us safe and to keep evil from encroaching upon this great country. God, we give you thanks. As a church, we stand in agreement for that today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. Come on, amen. Said amen. Amen. I want, honey, get whoever's going to help hand out these little back-to-church cards. I want you to use these. You could be putting one of these in the hand of somebody that the enemy has just been tormenting and would like to use. Go ahead and just massively. You can take as many as you want, but don't throw them on the floor. If you get one of these and throw it on the floor, I pray that the fleas from 1,000 camels will invest the elasticity of your shorts. Be a Christian and ask somebody, hey, will you come to church with me? Because you might You might thwart something that the enemy has got. You are called to be the light of the world. You like that little thing there? Fleas of a thousand camels? You won't like it if it happens to you. You can have as many as you want. If the guys give you one, you say, hey, I want 20 of them. Just take them. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be good. The Lord's going to do something great. In September, I declare unto this house, you're going to see the power of God released in a brand new way. I'm going to say it over on this side. I declare in September, you're going to see the power of God happen in this house like you have not seen before. I want to say it over here. I declare in September, you're going to experience the power of God like you have not heretofore seen it before in your lives. Come on. In your families, in your job, in your business, in your relationships. Come on. In your health, in your body. Come on. Receive that today. I declare it unto you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is going to be our month. We're going to see it happen. You and I have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to declare in our time right now that God is the answer that people are looking for. Some people, they're afraid, they're worried. I talk to people all the time. They're worried. What's happening? What's coming our way? God's got the answer in His book. If we'll read it, if the Word of God will be spoken, it'll change the heart of people's lives and their future will be made different all over. I believe in generations, and I believe today God's going to change a generation. Sometimes, you know, you can be involved in something great and you can miss the power of it. And when you miss it, we take it for granted. And what we take for granted is taken away from us. Don't forget that. You take things for granted every day. And what you take for granted, when it's gone, then you miss it. And you shouldn't do that. You should sow into it. When you take it for granted and you lose the appreciation for it, then you lose the power that it can have in your life. And that's why some people, they go in day in and day out, and they don't have any power, nothing is happening great in their lives, because they've lost their appreciation for who God is and what He's done in our lives. Jesus has come. He hung on a cross. He delivered you from your past. He's cleansed you from that. And that should never be old hat to you. That should fire you up every day that you open up your eyeballs and throw your feet on the terra firma of this earth. You should be excited about that. And I'm not talking you got to run around in circles and with one foot up in the air and another hand waving over your head. But maybe some of you need to do that, because you're so stuck in the mud in your life, if anything great happened to you, you wouldn't even know it. This is going to be one of those mornings. I'm excited. And what you sow into the things that God is doing in your life is what you're going to get out of it. You put nothing in, you're going to get nothing out. If you come in here today, you say, what are they going to do for me today? You came with the wrong intention. But if you come in here today, you say, I want to worship God. I'm going to give Him my all. When He says to lift our hand, I'm not going to lift one hand. I'm going to lift both hands. And if I can get my feet up in the air, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to worship Him, because when I worship Him, then He does something powerful and incredible. He'll confound the enemy that's trying to destroy your life and your family. Some of you got children that are not serving the Lord. They're away from God. And if you begin to worship God, you begin to give God the attention that you're giving everything else in your life, God will give you a miracle in your life. Now, you got all that for free. I didn't even plan that. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about don't stop there. You can't stop there. You must believe that when you can't see God working around you, that He's always working inside of you. And He's working inside some of you here this morning. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're hung up. You feel like you're stuck in a hole somewhere. And God's got a plan for you. He's going to work all things out for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. But you'll never know what those things are if you make a decision to stop, to give up, to give in and serving God in every area of your life. Some of you, you're living in a relationship at home and your marriage that is less than stellar because you've stopped. You stopped doing the things that will create blessing and and purpose and future and destiny. And you got to put in to it before you will ever get out of it. And when it doesn't appear that anything is working, you still don't stop. You just keep on keeping on. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, that must be the fuel that keeps you pressing forward and going on. And you've come too far with God, many of you, to turn around and to go backwards on into your old life now. You got to keep on going ahead. And I believe in the next few weeks and in the next few months and maybe even in the next year that you're going to hear some testimonies about people that made a decision. Now listen, I was stuck. I had stopped. But now I've made a decision. I'm going to get up. And I'm going to get moving ahead, and I'm not going to let the old things of the enemy try to pull me down or hold me back from what God has for me. In Hebrews 10:36, the writer says, you need to persevere. So when you have done the will of God, you will receive what God has promised. Did you see that? You got to persevere. You got to keep on moving forward. You can't stop there. You got to get up and get going. You can't give up so quick. You can't quit your diet because you've tried everything and in a week you lost a half an ounce. You know, great things in our lives happen small increments at a time. We're looking for the star-spangled banner when we start serving God. And the reality of it is you might not hear anything, but that doesn't mean that you stop serving him. You keep on serving. And if you go far enough, you're going to turn around and you're going to look and you're going to say, wow, look at how far I've come. Look what the Lord's done in my life. I can't believe that I once was that kind of person. I'm different now. Our society teaches us that everything you want, you can have it in a moment. You can have it quick, but it doesn't always work that way in the kingdom of God. Sometimes you got to just keep on digging those ditches. You got to just keep on sowing. You got to keep on giving. You got to keep on working. And all of the sudden, you'll turn around and you'll say, wow, look at how far I've come. Look at, I am not who I used to be. And you got to quit giving up so quick. And you got to learn that once you start walking with God and you start being faithful, you're not impressed by people that start a lot of things as much as you are with those that had the fortitude to finish what they started. And a lot of people love to start things. And I'm always a little afraid when people say, I want to do this and I want to do this, but they have no track record of sticking with it and finishing it. And anybody can show up for the sales event. But it takes somebody that'll pay the price in perseverance, that'll move forward and get the prize of what God has called them to. And I'm talking to somebody, and I know there's things in life that come along our pathway and cause us to stop. It causes us to hold down. It causes us to tie ourselves and just to hang on so we don't fall off of whatever it is we're riding on. Some of those things, I don't have them all, but I got a couple. They're relentless. They're trials and temptations. They keep on coming at us. And if I had a nickel for every time that somebody came to me and said, this is always coming at me and it's always overwhelming me. What do I do? You know what the answer is? You just get up. You keep on moving ahead. You keep on trusting God. The psalmist said in Psalm 143, 3-6, he says, the enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me and my heart within me is dismayed. And if you're going through this, the enemy is looking at you and he knows that there's something great and profound that God has for your life. And he's trying to stop you. And you can't stop there. When you're going through this stuff, when you're going through the trials, when you're facing the temptation, you got to move beyond it. You got to set yourself free from that. Personal adversity will cause us to stop. Psalm 61:2, when my heart becomes overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You got to move beyond where you're at today. You can't do it in your own strength. You need the power of Jesus to lead you to a rock that is beyond you, that's higher than you, that'll take you to places that you've never been before. Let God lead you. Also, attacks from others will hold you down and cause you to get stuck and to stop in that place. And people can be rough, can't they? They can hurt you. They can say things about you. Sticks and stones break my bones, and words do too. They just hurt way down deep. But you gotta move away from that. You can't let what other people say to you or about you define who you are. Come on, now somebody needs to hear that today. Let it go. Let it go. Move on. You can't let it hurt you. You can't let it hinder you. Psalm 109:3 says, with words of hatred, they surrounded me. They attacked me without cause. And some of you have been scorched in your life by criticism. And you won't move because you're afraid. If you move, somebody's going to say something to you or about you. Can I tell you today? Shake it off. If somebody isn't talking about you, you're probably stuck. Let them talk. Let them speak. When people talk about you, it just proves their ignorance. Amen. Come on. Let them talk, but you can't stop. And I want to help somebody today to get up and get moving. You let the words that people say, well, this one said that to me. Come on. Man, you're looking at the guy that used to affect me more than anything. If I heard that somebody said something about me or they said something, oh, it would crush me. I'd go in my room, pull a blanket over my head and just hope that the world would go away on me. But you know what I found out? That when that happens to me and I rise up above that, I get stronger in Him and I find my confidence in the Lord. I find my strength in Him. He's able to carry me, and the things that once used to destroy and devastate me, now they have no effect on me at all. None at all. You got to rise up from that. Guilt and shame is another one. Psychologists tell us that the stress that people live with is the guilt and the shame that they're dealing with in their lives. Guilt from something you did. Shame defines something of who you are. David says in Psalm 38:4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden. It is too heavy to bear. And you and I, we have to learn to forgive ourselves and move ahead. Now, I'm not giving anybody a free card to just go and act any way you want. But at some point in your life, if you're going to move on, you can't stop there. Because if you stop there, that guilt and shame will define who you are and who you become. You'll actually begin to look like what you feel like you've done and who you are. And God wants to help you. So how do we rise up out of that? I want to, if you have your Bible, just open it up to Isaiah chapter 55. I just want to read a few verses to you. And then I'm going to close today and I'm going to pray for you at the end here. You have to learn to respond to His voice, not others. You have to hear His voice. Isaiah 55, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you'll eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest of food. God has what you and I need, and we have to respond and listen for His voice. He doesn't come to threaten. He doesn't come to condemn you, but He calls you with a gentle whisper today, saying to you, you need to pay more attention here. You need to get your heart back into this. You need to get back over there and do the things like you used to do. Some of you, you've just flat out, you've left your first love. You've stepped away from it. You need to get your passion back. You need to get that fight back inside of you and stand up for the things that are right in your life and listen to the heart and to the voice of God and do what He tells you to do and not to stop there, because if you do, you're never going to see the purpose and the destiny that He's planned for your life. The other thing is you have to renew your relationship with God, and I'm talking about renew it. Many of us have failed in the simple things that we are called to do every single day. I want you to think about that just for a moment. What's the pattern of your life? I'm a student of human nature. I love to ask people, what the patterns, their habits are of the daily grind that they live out every day. Invariably, the people that are serving God the greatest and doing the greatest is they always start out with talking to Him. They always start out with praising Him, reading the Word, having that interaction with God every day, renewing that relationship. And some of you, you're stuck. You're out of practice. You're out of sync with that. I'm just encouraging you. You don't have to stop there. You got to rise up out of that and begin to do the things that are going to strengthen your life. And stop living the lie that says, well, I'm just always going to be like this. I'm always going to be lonely. I'm always going to be addictive. I'm always going to let this or that get the best of me. I'm always going to be bitter. I'm always going to have a negative perspective on everything. Stop saying that. And let the Word of God dwell richly in your heart. And it'll change what you begin to think about yourself. And it'll change the words that come out of your mouth. And it'll transform you into the image and the likeness of His Son, Jesus. Renew that relationship with Christ. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Come to me with your ears wide open and listen." I wrote in my margin here, stop talking. Stop it. I meet with people sometimes, and I've told you before, I'm not the greatest of counselors. I'm full disclosure, I'm not. I just want to tell people, knock it off. And when people start telling me, he did this and she did this, and I'm just all of a sudden, I said, stop. Stop talking. I can't handle it no more. I got to go see a counselor now. He says, come to me with your ears open. Listen. Renew your relationship with God. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. Isn't that beautiful? Woo, look at that up there. Listen, you'll find life. He said, I'll make you an everlasting covenant with you. I'll give you all of the unfailing love I promised to David. Verse 4, he said, see how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. Verse 5, look at this. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Woo! I was thinking about Big Chris Buzniak. He had preached on Thursday night like a master. It was just a few years ago. He was dwelling in darkness in jail. Don't let him kid you. He didn't go to universities. He didn't go to college. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. But I saw what God has done and laid his hand on him. And I couldn't help but think about him this week when I read that. That this week he gets on a plane and crosses the pond to go to France. And he's going to speak to nations. Oh, and Carol and Kathy. They're going to go and command nations. They'd never even been to France before. And people unknown will come running to hear what has God got to say. Because you know what? They're looking glorious. And that's what he does with you and I. When we stop and we listen and we obey him. And we do what he's called us to do. And we don't stay where we're at. We don't stop. We get unstuck. And we begin to serve the Lord with everything that's in us. Oh, I feel like preaching right now a little bit in this house. You know, you said, well, I just don't know if I do those. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Did you know the outcome is God's responsibility and obedience is yours? Did you hear that? Did you? Oh, it's up on the screen. Do you know the outcome is God's responsibility, but obedience is yours? You have to obey, and what he does with you in the future is up to him. Aren't you glad? You ought to give him a praise for that right there this morning. You don't have to understand everything to obey. You don't have to know where it's going and end up to take the next step. You just got to get out of there. You got to get up. Some of you just sometimes, I just think we need to just get up and shake ourselves and get unstuck. And don't stop there. Keep on moving. Persevere. And last, get rid of everything that is in the way. Hello now. Get rid of it. I can't do anything about the decisions I made when I was a kid, when I was 16 or 26 or 36 or 46 or 56. I know you're sitting there thinking, I don't believe he could be that old. I love you and bless you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything about the decisions I made last week. And I can't go back. And I hear every time, well, if I could just go back. You can't. You can't go back and do a do-over. But what you can do is clear the junk out that is in front of you and let him make all things new right now. And your latter can be much greater than your former. And your old life does not have to define your new life. And people will look at you and they'll say, who does he think he is to be able or she to do what they're going to do? I'm going to tell you who they are. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They have been born again. The blood of the Lamb has covered their life. He has cleansed them and made them brand new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are come new. Your enemy may come against you in one way, but he'll flee from you in seven ways. You're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Your enemies will fall at your right hand and at your left hand. God will make a way for you in desert places and will make a stream in the wilderness. He will make a way for you where there is no way. He will make that way. You got to get rid of everything that's in your life that keeps him from having his way in your life. You got to free yourself of all that nonsense. You got to put off the old you. You got to put it off. We don't have time to say, well, I'm going to wait until this month or that month, or I'm going to do it at the first of the year. Why wait to the first of the year to make some lie up that you're going to have a resolution? Do it now. Do it today. Don't put it off anymore. We're not going to defer our obedience any longer. The right time to do the right thing is right now, today. Amen. Come on, today. And even if it was your mistake, and even if you are guilty in the situation, God can change it. He can turn it around. I've seen him pull people out of the biggest messes. I've seen him clean off the worst of the worst. I've seen him do miracles upon miracles. And you are not too tough for God. If you'll surrender, if you'll get the junk out of your way, out of in front of you, and begin to pursue him, he's got a call on your life. He'll change you. He'll define you different. He'll accept you, and he'll make you brand new today in him. Come on, do you receive that today in his house? Yes. Isaiah 55:6. And I want to tell somebody too, he's still got a plan for you. He's still going to use you. Ron Friedersdorf, that's for you. He's going to use you in a powerful way. In fact, Ron, right in front of everybody, can you speak not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday? Good. Ron Friedersdorf, Pastor Ron from Lockport, New York, will be speaking here a week from this coming Thursday night. Absolutely. Come on. You excited about that? I've never done that before. Psalm 55:6, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Ooh, that just comes across my spirit. Get rid of the thoughts in your mind today of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Come on. Are you thankful for Jesus today? Come on, did you receive that today? Don't stop there. Come on, keep on moving. Keep on moving. Come on, give the Lord a great praise today. I know some people are going to have a testimony out of this today. Father, thank you. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. What a beautiful moment in the house of God this morning. I sense his glory and his power. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you can do that right where you're at. We're going to have some people down here praying in a few minutes. You can give them your heart and your life right now. You can say yes to him. Say, God, I just come to you right now. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed. Please, I don't want anybody moving around. Just for about 3 minutes, the Spirit of the Lord will do such powerful works in this time. If you've never given your heart to Christ, ask him to come in right now. Ask him to be the Lord and the master of your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. That's right. Just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I've made a mess. There's no one in here that hasn't made a mess. And he's able to forgive you. Thief hung on the cross. He looked over it. When one was on one side of Christ and another one was on the other, Jesus is in the middle. One said, if you were who you said you were, you can get us out of that. The spirit of humanity is always looking for an easy way out. And the thief, we don't know, people that were crucified, could have been murderers, thieves, whatever, the bad person. The one on the other side of him said, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You didn't have to jump through hoops. Sorry for those who have legalistic ways of thinking there's only certain ways to come. That was the day that God made known to humanity. He said, remember me. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to see you later today in heaven. And that's what it's about this morning. The end of your life. To be in eternity with the Lord Jesus. Some of you are stuck. You stopped in a spot because of maybe a mistake that you've made. You said, Pastor Marty, you don't know what I did. You're right, I don't know. And to be honest with you, if you told me, it's probably not going to change a whole lot. But what will change it, if you'll commit that to God today. Say, Lord, I need you. Tell him, I need you to help me. He is no respecter of persons. He'll lift you out of that spot right where you're at today. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Right where you're at, just tell him, Lord, help me today. Say, I surrender all to you today. I give you my life today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Father, and I pray for my brothers and my sisters, my friends today, that you would bless them. You would be upon their lives. God, that we would make great room for you. And this month will be a month to remember because you have done great things. I declare it again to be so. You're going to open up new opportunities for some people. Some that have been stuck. Some that have let things define them and hold them. Some that have made poor decisions and choices and it affected their families. God, I pray that this month, because they make a decision, you're going to change things in their lives, God. Be glorified, I pray, today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen.